I am excited about Resurrection Sunday today and excited to dive into this word with you. If you could turn with me to the 21st chapter of John. I'm going to lift up two passages in your hearing. The 21st chapter of John, the first seven verses, and then we're going to go to the a little bit more in that chapter. And then we're going to turn to the book of Romans, Romans 6. So when you have the 21st chapter of John, say amen. All right, we're good. John 21, verses 1 through 7, and then 15 through 17. And it reads, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, 'I'm going to go fishing.' They said to him, 'We will go with you.' They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you no fish?' They answered, 'No.' He said to them, 'Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea." Verse 15 to 17. "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' Peter said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' A second time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" You could turn with me to one more passage of scripture, Romans chapter 6, the second half of the fourth verse. "Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Let us pray. God, what a tremendous occasion that we have the opportunity to celebrate today. God, we give you praise that you have brought us one more time into your house, that we have woken up this morning, that we have the activity of our limbs and the wherewithal of our minds enough to be in your house this morning, God. We give you praise because you continue to give us life, not just when we were born, but every day that you open up our eyes. So we're thankful, God, to be here. And God, now we ask that you might send a word through your powerful word, through your powerful scriptures, God, through the story of the resurrection, that you, God, might send a word that your people need to hear. God, we ask for a word that is precise, that is correct. And God, we ask that your Holy Spirit might move, notwithstanding the imperfections of the preacher, God, that your word might shine forth and do its own work, because we know that your word always has work to do. Now, God, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we get out of the way so that you might speak to your people in the places in their spirits that they most need to hear you. Because you, God, are still the Alpha and the Omega. You are everything to us. And a word from you, we shall be healed. We love you and we thank you. And it's in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus that together we say amen, that we might walk in newness of life. It's hard to imagine the despair that the disciples and Peter would have felt on this day so many years ago. It's hard to imagine the despair and the agitation of spirit that was theirs on that Friday, that terrible Friday when Jesus was taken from them. On that Friday, everything changed. on that Friday, the life that they had imagined, the life that they had planned out, what was becoming, what was coming together and coming to fruition before their eyes, this life of purpose and of promise and of divine appointment, this life that was coming together. Everything changed and it was taken from them in this one moment. We know that they were in despair and that they were afraid. The scriptures tell us that many of them were locked behind closed doors, afraid that the same thing would happen to them. We're told that many of them cried at the tomb. Even when they saw that it was empty, they continued crying. They could not make sense of what happened because the shock of what had just taken place in their lives, the devastation of having Jesus so violently ripped from their presence, it was so much that they could not make sense of what had happened, even though he had told them, "I'm only going to be with you for a little while longer. The Roman government is going to make it so that I can't physically be with you anymore. It's going to get rough for a while." He had told them, but they still couldn't grasp it. And when they saw the empty tomb, they still couldn't make sense of it. They were in a state of despair. Peter, I can imagine, was particularly devastated. Not only had Peter witnessed the cruel end that had come to his Lord, his friend, and his Savior, not only had he seen firsthand what had taken place to this man who meant so much to him, Peter had not performed his best when the moment came. He had not acted like his best self as it was all happening. And when the situation reached its most excruciating moment, you probably remember in the story, and it came time for Peter to say on which side he stood. Peter did not act like his best self, and instead he denied Jesus those three times. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how Peter must have felt not only when he looked back on this moment of despair and of grief when the worst had happened? Not only did he have to wince because of what happened, but he also had to wince because of the regrets of not doing what he was supposed to do in the moment when it mattered most. Can you imagine the despair that Peter must have felt on this Friday that changed everything? Apart even from his regrets, Peter lost a lot on this Friday. Peter had invested so much in this ministry, invested so much in this new life that Jesus had given him. And it was only 3 years, but these 3 years had changed the direction of his life. And he had traded shame and settling for purpose and for promise. And this man who had changed everything and told him, "I have a place for you to go. I have a life for you to live. I have something for you to do that is above and beyond." And his life had become laced with the supernatural and authored by the divine. And it was becoming a beautiful thing. And then one Friday, everything changed. Maybe you have had a Friday that changed everything. Maybe it was a Tuesday where everything was taken from you and switched into a different mode. Maybe it wasn't one day. Maybe it was a year that changed everything for you. Or a season, one moment in your life that altered the direction of the walk that you were walking, one season for which you could not have been prepared, devastating in its impact on you, baffling in the loss that it brought to your life. Maybe you have tasted some version, however small, of the despair and the disappointment that Peter and the disciples tasted so many years ago. Peter's despair was so much, you may remember. His despair was so much that he could not receive the good news. He went to the tomb and he saw it empty. He remembered what Jesus had said, but he couldn't quite let it in. He, with the other disciples, went back up to the room and they locked the doors. Even when the women came and told them and said, no, not only is the tomb empty, but he spoke to me and he told me that it was as he said it was going to be. Even when the women told Peter, he didn't believe. Mm-hmm. Women, you know how they do us. Many of you were thinking, well, yeah, the same thing just happened to me in a meeting last week. I knew what I was talking about, but just because I was saying it, they still didn't listen to me. You know. But it wasn't just because it was women, of course, that were telling Peter and the other disciples, no, it's different than you think. I know it was rough, but there's some good news. Remember what he told us. It wasn't just because it was women that they could not believe. It was because his disappointment was such His pain had pierced his spirit so much that he could not receive the good news, even when it was told to him. Have you ever felt that way? Been through something that knocked you so far to your knees that when a hand is reached, is extended to you to stand up, when the good news even reaches you, you still can't quite let it into your spirit. This is where Peter was. He was so devastated by what had taken place on that awful Friday. He could not receive. He could not let in. He could not believe what had happened. So Jesus shows up on the beach to him. Jesus says, I need Peter to know what truly has taken place. I need Peter to know that they weren't lying and that I had to go through it, but it did not have the last word over me. So Jesus shows up on the beach, and this is where we meet Peter today. Jesus shows up on the beach and makes the disciples breakfast. Jesus shows up on the beach and says, I know this was awful for you, but I need to let you know that this is not the end. Jesus shows up on the beach as the risen one. And of course, at first, they have a hard time recognizing him. It's not until he says, cast your nets into the other side of the sea, and I'm going to remind you who I've been before in your life, and you're going to recognize me when you see that the same one who did something before is the same one who is doing those things now. They have a hard time recognizing him at first, but when he reminds them of what he's done before, they're able to see the Lord. And when Jesus, as the risen one, the resurrected Jesus, shows up to Peter on the beach, he teaches him a few things. Two lessons I want to talk about today, and I want to talk about these because these are lessons that are true for us too. When the risen one shows up to the disciples on the beach, he tells them something that we need to hear. The first thing that the resurrection told the disciples, the first thing that the resurrection let them know and Jesus needed to tell them when he showed up to them and said this was not the enemy, the first thing that it showed them was that death is not ultimate and cannot ultimately have power over you. Death is not the ultimate victor, Jesus came to say. He came to tell the disciples, I know it was rough, I know it was terrible, and I know it was scary, but it did not ultimately have victory over me. This is the same thing that the resurrection continues to teach us. Jesus went through the worst version of what we all must go through, though none of us knows when. Jesus went through the worst version of that final journey that we all must make that inspires anxiety in each and every one of us. And he went through it and he came back to say, I need to let you know it's not the scary thing that you thought it was. And even though it might take your body, it cannot do anything to the spirit. He came back to say, I told you how it was, that there was something that goes on after this. And you didn't believe me when I told you. So here I am to show you it is not over for me. As he told the disciples before when he was sending them out, he said, don't have any fear of those who can kill the body but can't do anything to the soul. He said, there's something in you that goes on. And he wasn't the type to talk about pearly gates and to give details of streets of gold. No, that wasn't what he thought was important. No, he said, I need you to know, though, I'm not going to tell you the details of how it's going to be, but I need you to know that I'm going ahead of you to prepare a place for you. Death is not the end of you. I need you to know that death is not ultimate. They didn't believe him when he said it at the Last Supper. They had a hard time letting it in. They still felt afraid, and so he came back to say it at the Sea of Tiberias. No matter what they do to the body, even the most cruel and untimely death is not ultimately victorious over us. No, there is parts of us that go on. This is not the end of the road. I told you when I was teaching you at the Last Supper, you didn't believe me then. You were still afraid. So here I am to show you I was not lying. Death is not the victor. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? It does not win. This is what the resurrection tells us. In his divine courage, Jesus faced his mortal end with such fortitude, and he came back to let them know what you are so afraid of does not ultimately have power over you. In the 1993, the timeless and the amazing classic, The Sandlot. Now, it didn't win an Oscar, but that was just a huge oversight. I'm sure it's going to retroactively be given an Oscar, this movie, The Sandlot. If you remember the movie, you may know that there is a character, Benny Rodriguez. And in The Sandlot, the baseball team, they're playing on this field, but they are so afraid. of what happens on the other side of the fence. They're a baseball team, and they don't have a ton of money, and they love to play, but they're so afraid of what happens on the other side of that fence that forms the edge of their field that they refuse even to hit home runs because they don't want to hit a ball over there and have to go on the other side of the fence. They're terrified of what happens on the other side of this fence. They think that there is a mean man, Mr. Myrtle, and a dog, and they call the dog the beast. They are terrified of what happens on the other side of the fence, so they avoid it at all costs, and they spend their time in fear of it. But then one day, someone hits a ball over, and this ball is worth a lot of money because it's signed by Babe Ruth. And so they are afraid. What are we going to do? Wait, maybe we should give up. We're so afraid of what happens on the other side of the fence. But then Benny Rodriguez comes in with his courage. And he says, I'll go on the other side of the fence. And I'm going to go and see if it's really as bad. And in his courage, he goes across the other fence. And he discovers that on the other side, there's nothing to be afraid of. On the other side, it is not the end of them. On the other side, it is not the scary place. In fact, it's a mansion on the other side. And the man who owns the mansion is very, very kind. And in fact, it was not the end of them. He comes back to say, I told you it was not so scary. This is Jesus. I told you before at the Last Supper, but you didn't believe me, so I'm coming to tell you that death cannot ultimately have power over us. No, it might take place, but it is not the end of us. And this is why Scripture tells us that he is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And the same God who raised Jesus is the same Lord that will raise us. And this is why Scripture says that even so, those just as God raised Jesus, those who have fallen asleep, God will bring with him. And we're told this so that we might not be afraid and so that we might not grieve as those who have no hope. The resurrection teaches us that death is not ultimately victorious over us. But the resurrection teaches us not only about how to face death, but about how to face life. Not only was Jesus saying to Peter, look, I know this day was terrible, and I know it ended my physical body, but I still go on, and I am still victorious over this. And they tried that grave. They tried the grave to be my last stop, but it was not. Not only did the resurrection show the disciples death is not ultimate, no, it also showed them that the life, nothing in life can either be ultimate over us. It showed us not only how to face death, but how to face life. For if even the most cruel or untimely death cannot truly defeat us, is it not so that neither can anything in this life, no matter how big, bad, or scary, no matter how devastating in its implications or debilitating in its impact on us, is it not true that if even death cannot truly defeat us, that it cannot truly be ultimate and gain victory over us? Is it not true that if he could show us that even death is not an enemy that has the final word of those over us, neither in life is there anything that can truly defeat us? He showed us that there is nothing in life that can truly have the last word over us. You know, we are told that we are to imitate Jesus in all things. We spend time trying to imitate him as he walked through life, trying to live a life that was defined by love and by courage and to walk the way he walked. But if we are told to imitate him in all things, we need to imitate him not just in the life that he lived, but imitate him in his rising. He told us today when he came back and showed himself mighty over the grave, he told us that I need you to act like me, not just in my living, but also in my rising. Something happens with you when you decide that there is nothing that can truly gain victory over me. Something happens with you when you decide I'm going to imitate him not just as he walked, but I'm going to imitate him as he rose up. Something happens in you when you decide if he could get up after everything that they put him through, after being on the cross and after going through the grave that they thought was be his last stop, if he could get up after that, something happens with you when you decide, I'm going to imitate him too. If he could get up after all that, I can get up too. Something happens when you make it part of the story that you tell about your life, that the same God who kept my Savior through what they meant to end him, kept him through the tomb and through the grave, the same God who was able to make him victorious even after the most cruelty that the Roman Empire could send to him, that same God is the God who keeps me. Something happens in your spirit when you say, I'm not just going to imitate him in his life, I'm going to imitate him in his rising. Something happens to you when you decide, I'm going to walk in resurrection power, that he walks with me and he talks with me, not just so I can say, isn't it amazing how he rose up, but so that he can help me to rise up too. This is what happened to Peter. Peter was devastated by this day that changed everything. He did not know that he could get up and could go on after what had taken place. You'll notice in the text that Peter, he went back to his old life. He gave up on the whole thing. He said, oh, it must not have been true. He said, let's go fishing. I don't know what else to do. Devastated, disappointed, dejected, going back to how it was before. He was turning around and throwing in the towel. He was saying it was all over. And here comes the risen one to say, Peter, you tried to act like me the way I was when I was on the earth. I need you to act like me. I need you to see that you can stand up after this. I need you to see that, Peter, there is more life for you after this. I need you to see that, Peter, even this day that changed everything does not have to be the day that defines you. I need you to see that Friday comes, but Sunday is here. Peter, I need you to see that there is more after this for you. Rise, walk in resurrection power. Jesus says this to Peter, there is more after this for you. Jesus says this to Peter, there's a life that you cannot see because you have been blinded by your pain, but I'm here to let you know that something can shift in you, Peter, when you decide to walk in resurrection power. Something can shift in you when you decide that there is more after this for you. This is what Paul says. He says, because he is resurrected, we too can walk in this power. Because he is resurrected too, we too don't have to only not be afraid of death, but we do not have to be afraid of life. Because he is resurrected, there is nothing that can truly be victorious over us. Because he is resurrected, there are always new ways to come. God is the one who makes all things new. See, I'm showing you that I have been made new. You can be made new too. I want to tell you a few things about those who walk in resurrection power. I want to tell you a few things that people who walk in resurrection power, a few things that they know. The first thing that they know is that those who walk in resurrection power, they participate in their own resurrection. Those who walk knowing that the risen one walks with me and therefore I can rise too. Those who walk in resurrection power knowing that the risen one defines the victory over their life. Those who walk in this power, they know that they also participate in their own resurrection. Paul is very interesting when he says in this verse in Romans, he says that the same God who resurrected Jesus so that we might walk in newness of life. He doesn't say that so that we will automatically walk in newness of life, as though we don't have to do anything with it. He doesn't say we will definitely walk in newness in life, as though that we don't have to participate at all and God will automatically raise us up from the things that have threatened to knock us to our knees permanently. No, he says so that they might walk in newness of life. In the NIV, it says so that they may. This is subjunctive. It's not indicative saying it definitely will happen. It's not future tense saying that it's going to happen no matter what. It says so that they might walk in newness of life. Many times we get excited and we want to walk in newness of life. We want to walk in resurrection power. We want to believe the stories that, yes, we can rise up from the rubble. We want to believe these things, but it's hard for us to do that, and we expect God to do it, but Paul is saying here that you have to participate in your own resurrection. A lot of times we want things to be made new, but God rolls away the stone, but we don't want to walk out. God puts before us a path to being happy again. God puts before us a path to being put back together, but we don't take the steps. We don't walk in it. Paul says that you might. It's not guaranteed. You have to participate. When God is saying to you, I have a new way for you to be. I have a new life for you. I can bring you back from those things that tried to knock you down. I can lift you up off your knees, but you have to stand when I hold up your arms. When Jesus resurrected through the power of God, Lazarus, he said to him, Lazarus, come out. Come out of that tomb. Come out of that tomb. And if Lazarus had not walked, he would still be in there. Some of us can get in some tomb situations. Some tomb situations where the life has been sucked out of us and we are in a place that we can't see and it is just death all around us and we're not going anywhere and the abundant life that we were promised seems like it's nowhere in sight and God has rolled the stone away, but God is saying, come out. You got to come out. You got to do the things I'm asking you to do. When I put it before you, you have to walk in this resurrection power. This is what Jesus said to Peter. He said, Peter, I'm here. There is a life after this for you. There is an assignment over your life. I have a place that I need you to go. I need you to feed my sheep. I need you to do some things. I told you you would be the basis of my church, and I was not lying, Peter. There is a life after this devastating day. There is a life that can be built from the rubble that you see around you. This day that changed everything doesn't have to be the last day on your calendar, Peter, but I need you to walk in it. I need you to stand up. I have some things I need you to do, but you're going to have to walk. Those who know what it is to say, he rose and I can rise too. They know that he didn't rise and make it automatic. No, I have to participate in it. When he says walk, I got to put one foot. When he says the stone is gone, I got to leave the tomb. There's some things we have to do. We want to walk in his resurrection power. The next thing that people know who walk in resurrection power, the next thing that they know, people who know what it is to worship the risen one and say, because he rose, I can rise too. The next thing that people know is that you can rise with your wounds. You can rise with your wounds. I need to tell you that this Friday was not erased by Sunday. This Friday, this terrible Friday where things went so wrong and it hurt them so much, it was not erased by the coming of Sunday. It was not as though it had not happened. No, they still had to go on without the physical presence of Jesus. They still had the memory of the loss. It was still a trauma in their spirits. They were wounded by it. And Sunday coming did not erase it, did not make it all better, did not fix it and make it go away. They still had some wounds from it. You might still have some wounds from the things that have most hurt you in life. The faith is not there to fix everything and make it all better. Faith fixes a lot of things. Faith can move mountains and make things ways that they were not before. But there are some things in life that they hurt you. And those wounds might still be there. If anybody who's lived more than 15 years knows that life can hurt you. And the faith that says, oh, it's okay, it'll all be just fine. Not everything is just fine. Sunday doesn't always erase Friday. You still have some sore spots from the Fridays that took place. You still miss the people that you have to live without. You still have some places in you that hurt from the places where you got knocked down and you bruised your knee. You might still have wounds in your life. Things are not going to be always put back together in this way where you can't even see the seams of where the vase was broken. Sometimes you still have wounds in your life. But have you ever noticed that Jesus rose with his wounds? Have you ever noticed that when he rose on that day and he went to the disciples, his wounds were still on him, but it did not stop him from rising? That when he came to show himself to the disciples, he had some wounds that were still on him because Sunday did not erase Friday, didn't make it so that it didn't happen. Oh, but it redeemed it. And he came to the disciples and he said, I still have my wounds here, but that doesn't mean I didn't rise. That doesn't mean that I am not victorious over this. And Jesus, it's fascinating, he was not ashamed of. He didn't hate or hide his wounds. No, he showed them. You remember what he said to Thomas. He said, here are my wounds. Put your hand in it. Put your finger in my side. Because this wound is not something that proves that I was not victorious. No, on the contrary, this wound is proof that God is a resurrector. This wound that you see, this place that I was broken, is proof that God brought me back to life. This wound is evidence of what I've been through, and it's proof that God can raise you even from some crazy things. We have to realize that our wounds can become proof that God is still able. This is what he says to Thomas. Touch my wounds, see them. See what I've been through so that you might believe. Oh! This is what it's like to be a person who walks in resurrection power, to say to people, see what I've been through and that I am still here so that you might believe. There is power in rising with your wounds. It becomes a testimony. There's a time when you walk in resurrection power, when you realize that nothing in this life can truly defeat me. It might try, it might for a season. I might be down for a while, but there's something in me that rises. There's something in me that knows the name of the living Savior, and it rises up in spite of what people try to do to me, in spite of what happened. There's something in you that knows, if he rose, if he could get up after all they put him through, I can get up too. And there's something in us when we walk in resurrection power that knows that our wounds are there to be a testimony to other people. They're no longer just a sad story. No, just like Jesus, touch and see, I can get you through. There's some things that try to to keep us from walking in life, to break us, some injuries that we get. Sometimes when you have an injury that prevents you from walking, you have to use a cane. And it's a mark of what you went through. It's a mark of your limitations in some ways. It's a mark of that things weren't perfect and that you went through some things and you got injured. But did you know that there's a very small difference between a cane and a staff? A cane is what you use because you were injured. A staff is what you use to exert your power over something. You remember that Moses, when God said, I need you to split this sea, he said, raise up your staff and hold it over the sea, and my power will be shown through this staff. Some of us have some canes in our lives, some things that mark that we've been through some things, and it's harder to walk because of what we've been through. But did you know there's a very small difference between a cane and a staff? That same thing that marks your brokenness, that marks what you've been through, that marks that it hasn't always been easy, that same thing is what God might say, lift that up and put it over a sea, and you're going to see that it splits in half. Might be the same thing that God uses to show God's power. You can rise with your wounds. They can become a testimony. They can become proof that God is a resurrector. Last thing we know when we walk in resurrection power, and this one is enough. This one should be enough to make you decide today, yes, I want to be one who imitates Jesus, not just in his living, but in his rising. I want to be one who, like Paul says, walks in resurrection power. I want to be one who walks this walk, who gets up no matter what comes my way. This is enough to make us decide that. The last thing that those know who walk in resurrection power, they know that when you walk in resurrection power, you will help somebody else get up and walk too. Peter learned this today. Jesus said to him, your life is in pieces, I know. I know you are scared. I know it was awful. I know you'll still have some wounds from this. I know that it was traumatic. I know that you don't see a way forward, but I will make a way forward for you if you follow me, if you walk what I'm telling you to walk, if you participate. And Jesus was right. Jesus did make Peter the basis of the church. Jesus did make it so that Peter's words touched people, and Peter was able to take people's pain and transform it by the power of God into hope. And Jesus was right that Peter was able to help people and to help people see the power of God in their lives. And Peter became a big leader and brought many people to Christ and brought many people to a new life. Peter did help people. But then there was this one day. Peter, in the book of Acts, after he was preaching and after he was helping people, there was this one day where he and John walked into the temple. And they walked into this temple, and there was someone who could not walk, who was paralyzed. And this person was sitting on the door of the temple asking for money, as was his custom. And this person had been through things in life that knocked him down, and he was quite unable to move. He could not get up from what had happened in life, and he was paralyzed and on his knees from what had taken place. And Peter recognized something in that. Peter said, I've been on my knees before too. I've been through some things that threatened to knock the life out of me, and I see something in you. And the young man said, can you give me some money? Peter looked at him and said, I don't have silver or gold. But I see where you are, and I've been where you are right now, and I know I've tasted despair the way you're attacked. I know what it's like to not be able to get up. I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have you, I will give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And he reached out his hand, and in the power of the risen one, the power of the risen one, he said to this man, stand up and walk. His ankles became strong. The man stood up from something he thought he would never stand up from. Something happens to you. It's a powerful moment when you realize that you rising above the things that tried to knock you down is contagious. Whew. Walking in resurrection power is contagious. That people are different because you walk next to them and you say, I have some wounds, but I have risen over them. Not because of my own might, not because I have anything, but because of the name of the one that is above all names, the name of Jesus of Nazareth. There's something that happens to you when you realize that you walking in resurrection power, you getting up every morning and say, I don't know about all this is happening, but I serve one who rose again, and so I will rise again. When you get up in the morning and say, I know what my identity is, I can act like him, not only in his life, but in his rising. When you wake up in the morning and say, nothing in this life can truly defeat me. It might try. Ooh, it might try. But I am one who walks in resurrection power. You'll see You'll see that that walk is contagious. You walking closer to people will help them get up. You calling somebody on the phone will help them find life after they couldn't find it for a while. You texting someone with your testimony will change things, or you'll see that your resurrection walk is contagious. And I don't know what Fridays you may have had that changed everything. What seasons in your life may have been devastating in their impact on you. What places in your life may have tried to knock you down, and you find yourself on your knees, unsure of how to put one foot down and then the other, unsure of how to stand. I don't know what seasons have threatened to take the life out of you, but maybe Resurrection Sunday. Oh. Maybe this Resurrection Sunday can start the season of you rising. Can start the season of you walking in your resurrection power, knowing the risen one and knowing that he defines your life. He walks with you still. And his resurrection is there for you as well. Wasn't just a story long ago. No, our God is still in the resurrecting business.